advocate for the Indian LGBT community is something that came about by way of necessity, and I have had to learn on the job. Like almost every other young LGBT person my age, I grew up thinking that I was the only queer in the country. I grew up in a predominantly South Indian and very Christian home, and in a city with no visible LGBT community, support system, or allies. In the small world around me, we didn't talk about sex, we didn't talk about sexual orientation. No one was queer as far as I knew. And when I tried asking my parents to send me to a therapist because I thought that something was wrong with me, they refused. It took me over 4 years, a South African roommate, 4 seasons of The L Word, a lot of articles, a few emails from Robin Oakes, who's here today, an online conversation with Siddharth, and the courage to show up at a meetup by Good As You in Bangalore, where I met Siddharth for the first time. And for the first time in my life, I met a group of men who did not identify as straight. Soon after that, Bangalore had its first pride, and at it, I experienced a profound sense of liberation and empowerment. Sorry, I was being called a lesbian, but it made me even more determined to make sure that people got it right, that I was actually an out bisexual woman who was proud to be who I am. It finally felt that it was okay to be exactly who I am, and I wanted people to be getting it right. If you're going to give me a label, give me the right one. In 2009, my father was diagnosed with cancer, and I had to move back home to a smaller city called Pune. And Pune did not have a visible LGBT community like Bangalore. After a couple of months back home, I missed being part of a community that knew exactly who I was and accepted me unconditionally. On a trip back to Bangalore, I mentioned this to Siddharth and another brilliant activist, and I remember I went on and on about it. And they both heard me out, and they said, if you want things to change, you have to do something about it. That's what all of them did. Siddharth introduced me to somebody from the community who had just moved to Bangalore from Pune. And that boy told me that even though there wasn't any visible community, there was a group of his friends that he could introduce me to. I jumped at the opportunity, but I wanted to do more. With the few resources I had available to me at the time by way of my job in the entertainment industry and the internet, thank God for Facebook, I managed to get a venue to open its doors to an exclusively LGBT crowd for one night. It was a Monday night, but it was one night. At the first event, we had 55 people show up, simply looking for a safe space to socialize in. And they were some of the warmest and nicest people I'd ever met. And though they'd never met me, heard about me, or didn't know me at all, we had an automatic sense of belonging. Even the staff at the venue, and these are people who are not of the same social standing as us, or they are basically people who did not know about the LGBT community. They recognized that we were a big group of people who were there just to have fun together. With one event every month for about 3 years, we grew consistently to over a community of 400 people who identified as LGBT people or allies. And I ensured that we were a family-friendly space, very aware of younger crowd that were reaching out, and we made it a point to celebrate every coming out like it was a birthday party. From connections made here emerged a digital monthly magazine called The Queer Chronicle and a local support group for Marathi-speaking queer men. The fact that we were doing all of this without any major financial backing or a bigger NGO encouraged us, even though we had our own share of opposition within the community in Pune. As we continued to keep doing the events, I realized that a lot of people who showed up wanted to talk about the issues they were having with their families, with their friends, at work, with coming out, or even figuring out their own identities. I'd arrange one-on-one meetings, group meets for those who wanted to, but we always had to meet up at a coffee shop or a restaurant, and there was no safe space for us to have the other important conversations that needed to be had. Unfortunately, I did not know how to create a permanent safe space. I still don't. A few conversations with a local women's rights activist told me that there was a lot of paperwork and fundraising that I would have to do to make that happen, and almost no resources that I could turn to. Even though I continued being a visible vocal advocate, I felt that the community I represented needed more out of me, and I simply did not know how to cater to that need. At some point in the beginning of 2010, I was invited to a conference in Bombay of LGBT activists from all across India. I was excited to be part of InfoSam. That's where Jonathan apparently met me. I did not remember that. But what I experienced at that nationwide conference startled me, and it was very disappointing. We were only two out bisexual women at that event, and the only other person was a volunteer. When discussing issues and when votes were called for, I couldn't vote because I was there as an independent, and I did not belong to a registered organization. At one point, I point blank asked the activists representing supposed bi-inclusive groups if they would take a vote as a bi group. I have never heard an entire room of activists go so quiet. Nobody really wanted to associate themselves with us, and even though almost all of their mission statements include the word bisexual, nobody wanted to stand up for us. After that incident, I started an online support group for Indian bisexuals, and the response was incredible. Within an hour of launching, we had 62 people join up and start talking about how incredible it was to have a safe space focused on bi issues and connect with a larger community of people. I also looked into what it would take to create a permanent space for the change I wanted to bring about. The inspiring people at the core of the LGBT movement in India were busy doing the best that they could in their cities with every waking hour they had, and other than corresponding with me via email, there was little they could actually do to help me equip myself with the tools I needed to be more effective. Through my research online, I created a plan for what was needed and got some paperwork put together. And then I found out in order to get any legal work done, I needed money that I did not have. And again, I found myself falling short and unable to move forward. Around this time, I got a few emails from people in smaller cities like Pune asking me how I did what I did and how could they do the same. Unfortunately, all I could tell them was my experience, and not having them myself, I could not equip these other eager voices to become effective leaders in their own communities. As a young advocate for the queer community, I believe that it is possible to change this and to create a network of young leaders that can radically change the future of equality in India. I am not saying that there is absolutely no one who cares enough to do anything about it. I'm saying that the people who do not have the time or resources needed to make the difference. From the work I've managed to do in Pune, I know for a fact that even the smallest voice has the courage to speak up and to be heard and be seen can make a huge difference to many lives, irrespective of age, gender, economic standing, or orientation. If we want to see change on a larger scale, we have to focus on every corner of the country and should not leave anyone behind. We need to have a solid network of agents of change that are equipped with the right tools, network, and support system to do community outreach work all across the country and be effective voices for the Indian LGBT community. Right now, the movement is almost lopsided. The major campaigns and outreach programs are in the major cities, and we're not including the smaller LGBT communities, which in fact would benefit from this kind of liaison the most. Instead of us learning what we need to know by trial and error, or surpassing what we might think is beyond our capabilities, we must have a training program for our youth that want to be LGBT leaders. I believe that this is the only way for us to have well-equipped leaders leading our movement from all across the country, and who knows, we might even have them successfully run for election and eventually have someone in parliament speaking up for our rights. I strongly believe that this has the potential to bring out and equip leaders that the future of the Indian LGBT movement desperately needs, because right now we are failing a large population of our community, and that must change.
Good afternoon. Once again, I'd like to thank the panel, distinguished panelists, and Harvard for allowing us this opportunity to address this issue. Normally, I don't get nervous speaking, but today is a difference. I mean, I think our panelists spoke earlier, and this is very emotional. This is very emotional. I mean, in one way, we woke up one day and all of a sudden we're illegal. And how does that feel? As someone that has come from the country in 1973, this is in my home,